Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is the epistle lesson that we heard from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Here ends our text. In the name of Christ Jesus, my dear fellow freed brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's take a moment to address the elephant in the room. Slavery is a rough topic. Especially in this day and age, and especially in this country, usually bringing up the topic brings thoughts back to a darker time in our nation's history when the issue hurt many thousands upon thousands of lives and quite literally ended up dividing the nation for a time. Slavery, in the time of Paul, was also unpleasant and not a part of society that anybody wanted to necessarily be a part of. But Paul's address of it here is not condoning slavery. He's simply recognizing a sinful part of, a sinful reality of the context that he is in. He's not condoning and giving a thumbs up to the fact that Onesimus is a slave of Philemon. Now, it may be shocking to hear such a controversial and bold statement uttered in the house of God this morning, but slavery is bad. But brothers and sisters, that's not just worldly slavery that we're looking at. Ever since Adam and Eve first took that forbidden fruit off of that tree, the world has been under a different kind of slavery. The world has been taken by storm under a slavery to sin, bondage under a will that truly hates God. It's why we're thankful that we have a Savior who saves us and forgives us. Christ's forgiveness truly does set us free. It assures us that we have use in the kingdom of God, because we know that Christ has truly paid our debt in full. When Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, we wouldn't necessarily say it was the best of times for him. He was nearing the end of his life, the end of his ministry, currently imprisoned in house arrest in Rome. And as he's writing to Philemon, he assures him that at least he's not alone. He has a faithful helper and faithful worker, minister of the gospel, named Onesimus. The same Onesimus who happens to be the former, now escaped, slave of Philemon, to whom Paul is writing. He was an invaluable asset, and scripture seems to suggest that he's been with Paul at least about as far back as when he was last in Jerusalem on his way out from Rome, or to Rome. And in that time, they became very close. Onesimus became like Paul's own son in the faith as he was nurtured in everything about Christ. But as we know, at least on this side of heaven, all good things must come to an end. Paul was nearing the end of his ministry and his time on this earth, and he knew it was time to send Onesimus back to his former master, Philemon. And as he writes to Philemon, he implores him to take Onesimus back, making the argument that he is a changed man, now useful to him. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. From a worldly perspective, it would be kind of odd for Philemon to take Onesimus back. From a worldly perspective, Onesimus was damaged goods, a negative number on a budget sheet. Probably an extremely sore topic to bring up for Philemon. Maybe he lost out on something financially, maybe he lost out on some pride. But it's important that he does take him back. Because now, Onesimus serves a beneficial purpose. Just like he had already served a beneficial purpose for Paul, he can now serve a good purpose for Philemon. Paul gets to the heart of the matter. He says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. Note the time words in that statement of Paul. Philemon, you may have lost out temporarily for a little while when Onesimus ran away from you. But by the grace of God, I am sending him back to you, and you will have him back forever as a brother in the Lord. Not only in your time here on this earth, but also in eternity when you both go to heaven to be with your Savior. Again, we have another example of how God's kingdom simply runs differently than the ways of this world. In the culture of that time, as an escaped slave, Onesimus simply deserved death. The second he came back to Philemon, his punishment would be clear. It's hard to blame him for not wanting to turn back to that painful part of his past and still painful part of his present. But by the power of the gospel that is alive in Christ, Onesimus now stands to give something back to his master. He stands to serve as something useful in his life, no longer afraid of just being another time that Philemon looks back on with shame. The gospel mindset truly does change everything. Philemon now can welcome him back and offer him that gracious gift of Christian forgiveness as they both strengthen each other's faith. Philemon has found great use now in his former slave Onesimus. It brings to mind the phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. As far as many of the idioms we know go, it's one of the more self-explanatory ones. Something that may be considered useless junk to one person can be looked at by a different person and seen as something invaluable, something that's wanted or needed even, something that is awesome. This is definitely true in the case of Onesimus this morning. To Philemon, he was this simple escaped slave. The next time Philemon would see Onesimus, if it would ever happen, he would just have to kill him anyway. So why bother? Who needs him? He's useless, dead to me. But to Paul, he was not only an invaluable ally, a fellow servant and called worker of the gospel, but he was a fellow brother in the Lord. Someone who Paul could talk to and strengthen his own faith and also work in strengthening Onesimus' faith as well. And now by the grace of God, Onesimus doesn't become junk. He doesn't become trash to Philemon anymore. He becomes, in much similar ways, this beneficial use for Philemon as his faith as well is strengthened. In our lives as Christians, we can apply this adage of one man's trash is another man's treasure to our lives as well. Except it's interesting because as Christians, as we read God's word, we see that our lives are a weird mix of trash and treasure. We look inside our own hearts as we read God's law. We see all the times we want to ignore God's word. We dishonor God's name. We don't love our neighbors and ourselves. The good that we want to do, we aren't able to do. And the evil that we don't want to do, this is what we keep on doing. And we find ourselves enslaved under the power of the devil. We see in our sinful nature and the condemnation that comes out through God's law that we can't earn anything good for ourselves because we have done everything so wrong and so poorly. And with that, the devil slaps on the chains and drags us straight to his domain. It would seem that by ourselves everything is hopeless. But that's why, by the grace of God, in our lives the treasure far outshines the trash. Through Christ's blood, everything has now changed. When we fail to love and forgive others perfectly as Christ did, our Lord doesn't. He loves us and forgives us perfectly. He looks at you and he looks at me through the blood of Christ, and he sees a spotless record, not a single sin counted against us, all through faith in Christ. We're something more. Now we're something more to God, a beloved child of him, someone so dear to him that he sent his one and only Son to die for us. But more than that, we are also something more to each other now, through faith. Through faith, we all gather and worship together as we pray and sing together. We offer prayers for one another. In the rough times, we can be shoulders to cry on for one another. In the good times, we can be happy faces to rejoice with. We have an amazing blessing in this brotherhood of the faith that we have through Christ. And perhaps best of all, we stand to be useful to a world that would deem us and our Savior useless. We can bring the message of salvation out to a world that sorely needs it, even though they might not know it. We can bring that same message of joy and forgiveness out to many unbelievers throughout our lives. What greater use and purpose could we possibly think of than to usher in more fellow brothers and sisters to come to the knowledge of Christ? So now that Paul has affirmed that Onesimus, a beloved and dear, highly useful fellow brother in Christ to Philemon, he gets to the more official matter of payment, of what has been wrong, and making that right. He says, if Onesimus has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. And then he further seals this deal with a sort of promissory note containing his signature, saying, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. The message to Philemon should be clear. He definitely knows Paul enough to know that he will stay true to his word. Philemon is not going to come up short in this situation in any way. In fact, he already has come out better than he was before. Because sure, Paul can wrangle together whatever means he may want to pay back Philemon whatever monetary amount he may have lost. But he has already gained back a brother in the Lord when Onesimus comes back to him. And that is the far greater thing. Paul doesn't want these two men to worry about the debt of money. It's the debt of sin that is at the core here. And by grace and forgiveness, Paul knows that Onesimus can stand with his fellow brother Philemon totally with a clear conscience, knowing that he is not only forgiven by his master, but he is also forgiven by Christ. Yet, in our hearts and in our lives, it's interesting how this inner sinful nature of ours can still become a topic that scares us. Something that could be a joyful message, what could be more joyful than forgiveness, can sometimes appear to us to be another way to condemn ourselves. This will ring true sometimes in Jesus' parables, one especially as the unforgiving servant. Jesus told a parable about a servant who owed a certain man 10,000 bags of gold as a debt. And one day the man called this servant into him and he said, I forgive you of your debt. I release you from your obligation. You do not need to pay me a single coin. And as a result, overjoyed, this first servant leaves and he finds another fellow servant who owes him a debt of 100 gold coins. This first servant beats up this second servant and almost chokes him to death for not being able to pay him back. Upon hearing this, the man who forgave this first servant calls him back, scorns him for being unable to show a little mercy when he was shown great mercy, and reinstates the debt on him. When we read this, we're struck to the core because it reveals a fatal flaw in our own human capacity to forgive. We notice that when we fail to forgive others, we are failing to model the perfect forgiveness of Christ that has already been won for us. We look at others and we hold grudges. We hold sins against one another. We fail to forget. And we let this poisonous line of thinking get down to the very core where we are even affected ourselves. We'll see something that we have done as beyond forgiveness. We'll fail to forgive ourselves. We'll tell ourselves that, oh, if that person can't forgive me, how then could the Lord forgive me? There's a lot of power in the phrase of the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us." That inner opinion of the law can kind of strike into our hearts and turn that message into something worse. Because we'll see things as beyond forgiveness, and we'll ignore that clear forgiveness that Christ has already won for us. But God's message is clear. If we're going to adhere to a standard that needs to earn forgiveness by any word or deed, we are setting up for ourselves a very grim reality. Nobody can be justified by observing the law to receive salvation. Which is why we need Christ. Christ is the only true way. Christ is the only way that we can have forgiveness. Just as Paul took Onesimus' debt upon himself, so too do we have Christ who takes upon our debt of sin. There have been many throughout the ages who say that we ourselves are Christ's own Onesimi, or Onesimuses, or Onesimuses, however you want to pluralize his name. Christ has fully taken upon him our debt. He came down to live a perfect life, to earn that perfection status that God sees now when he looks at us. He died that gruesome death on the cross to pay for the debt of sin that we have earned and we have so deserved. And the best part yet, rather than a simple promissory note, a signature from Jesus at the end of the Bible saying, "Yep, you're good," we have him raising from the dead on that glorious Easter morning, proving that our Savior has beat death, and now by faith we will beat death as well. Forgiving, through that mindset, no longer becomes this fearful obligation. When we pray those words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," don't see that as a law statement. In all honesty, when I was younger, that little statement used to be the most terrifying thing I would ever pray in church. Because I would see that as a conditional statement. I would see that as my forgiveness being the first thing. God's forgiveness would then be contingent on my own forgiveness. "Lord, forgive me my sins as good as I am at forgiving other people." If you're struggling with that mindset as well, here's a bit of advice. Remember the word order that our Savior taught us in that prayer. God's forgiveness comes first, each and every time. "Lord, you already have forgiven us our sins, so therefore give me the strength to go out and give your forgiveness to the world, to those who sorely need it." And when we do mess up, when we do fail, when we do forgive to measure up to Christ's standard of forgiveness, turn back to the Word. Turn back and see that forgiveness that is still with you, that has never left you. Turn back and receive that forgiveness and find in yourself again a joy and renewed forgiveness, so that way you can go out and continue to offer Christ's forgiveness to the world again. It's a gracious cycle of joy that we get to continually bring to the world. There's much cause to rejoice with Onesimus, but not just with him, with the rest of our Christian brothers and sisters in the faith. I would like to assume the that all of us in the room have never experienced the horrors of worldly slavery firsthand. And thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God that we live in a country that still cherishes basic human rights. But even greater, we see in God's word that we've been freed from a much more terrible slavery. We've been freed by the blood of Christ from the slavery of sin, death, and the devil. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior that gives us an amazing usefulness and purpose in this otherwise, without Christ, purposeless existence. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior that has truly taken our debt in full upon himself and promises that it has already been paid. So go in peace, knowing that Christ's forgiveness truly does set us free. Amen.